Good afternoon, Knaan. How are you?
How are things in the Southern Hemisphere?
Excellent, and all the better for speaking to you. How's it going? Apparently you just got off a plane. Where are you now?
Well, I just got back from Portugal.
Oh, lovely.
Where I attended a kosher market in Portugal, of all places.
Okay. And what's the Jewish community like in Portugal?
Well, it's tiny for one thing. There's about 1,000 people who are Jews in that country. And that's not really surprising because 500 years ago, Portugal and Spain kicked out their religious minorities, Jews
right.
and Muslims,
right.
in the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisitions.
Right. Okay, but these 1,000 Jews have a market?
They have more than a market, which is why I came there. They have a kosher market every year in Belmonte, which is in the east. And they have a kosher hotel in Porto, and they have three synagogues and a living, breathing Jewish community. And it's a process that began with the fall of the dictatorship, because Portugal was in the grip of a military dictatorship until the 1970s, as South Africans know very well from the war in Mozambique and
sure.
later Angola. After that dictatorship fell apart, all these people who were descended from conversos, people who were forcibly converted to Christianity, started seeking each other out and building communities. And that sort of took, you know, baby steps. But what really kind of put the communal life on the fast lane in Portugal was happened just 5 years ago. Maybe in South Africa, all over the world, they heard about it. I'm sure you're aware that Portugal is giving citizenship to descendants of Sfaradim. And what's less known is that the Jewish communities of Lisbon and Porto are handling the applications. And each application is worth a few hundred euros. Multiply that a few thousand times, and you have a cash cow for these communities. And I visited Porto's synagogue 10 years ago. The place was falling apart.
Hmm.
Now it's a palace with a new mikveh, and this kosher hotel I mentioned, and a kosher shop, and 100,000 visitors every year coming through Porto, and many of them Jews from all over the world. And I met an Israeli family who settled there. So things are really changing for that community.
That's fantastic. Very interesting. So who's actually funding this, you know, these renovations? Is it the Jewish community,
well,
or is it coming from, you know, the Portuguese government, heritage foundations? Where's the money coming from?
Excellent question. There is some funding from the government, and there is some funding for the EU, because the Jewish heritage sites in Portugal are among the world's most fabulous. Portuguese Jewry was a hub of the Jewish world 5 years ago. And so you have in places like Covilhã and another place whose name, but just now, Trancoso, you have unique exhibits. You have, for example, in the door frames of houses of conversos, you have the part where the mezuzah would be, that's chipped off.
Wow.
And you have engraved in the stone the word horror, to mark that this is a family that was touched by the horror of the Inquisition. So you have things that you can't find anywhere else, and the EU is funding it, but actually renovating the synagogue, that comes from revenues from handling applications of people who want Jewish Portuguese citizenship, because the government made the communities responsible for vetting the requests. Now, I wish I could stop the story there, but unfortunately, in the real world, that also created a lot of internal dissent and a lot of communal fights inside the communities of Portugal, because now that there's an income, everybody wants a slice of it. So there's a lot of frustration from people who can't get into certain synagogues, and there's the optimists say that this is just natural jostling that will subside when things even out. Pessimists say that we're seeing the squandering of a historical right for all the wrong reasons. But what's certain is that the Jewish world is watching as the Portuguese Jewish community is writing another chapter in its remarkable history, perhaps its second golden age.
Incredible. That's fascinating.
Kathy, I was there little while ago.
This is my co-host, Simon Knaan.
Hello, Knaan. And I have an absolute fascination with Sephardic Jewry, specifically that from Portugal and Spain. And what really blew my mind away was how little remained in Portugal. There is very little left to see. When they got rid of them, they really did get rid of them. In fact, they slaughtered a whole bunch of them in the middle of Lisbon, and there's a monument there. But one of the things that I found completely fascinating was the amount of pork that Portuguese eat. Everything is pork, 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 pork. And when I asked the question, was there a reason, somebody said it was exactly that. To prove what a loyal Christian you weren't a converso, and you would eat pork. That was your outward symbol of, accept me, I'm one of you. And I just thought, 500 years later, that's still the case. That's just remarkable.
And the irony is that if it's going to save your life, you can do it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not even.
And yet, even there, guys, in the menu, the Jews find a way to be smart. There's a sausage called aleira, which literally means thing of garlic, and it's so full of garlic that it camouflages the real taste of the meat, and that for centuries conversos used to use in order to put mutton and beef instead of pork. And that's now a staple item in the menu in northern Portugal. Thanks for that.
So interesting. Can we talk a little bit about Lithuania?
Right. I know it's a issue of interest to South African Jewry.
Oh, absolutely.
You guys are 80 to 90% descended from there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, afraid so.
Nosy stuff, huh? All right, so Lithuania, you know, reckoning with its past.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God that South African Jewry made it, because that's all that's really left of the Litvak legacy.
Yeah.
And for years, I'm sure that you guys have been following closely how Sylvia Foti, a Chicago teacher, recently came out in an article that accused her grandfather, Nureka, of being basically a Holocaust collaborator.
Yes.
That made a lot of news. But what's less known, and what really fascinated me, is that this has been common knowledge for decades. The Simon Wiesenthal Center 30 years ago said that Nureka, a certain collaborator who headed a district in Lithuania and was basically responsible for the liquidation of all the Jews there, that he was a murderer. So it's not like Sylvia, a Chicago teacher who wrote this article, discovered anything new. And my mission recently in an article about this was to understand why her article had such an impact, because what it did, it forced the foreign minister, in fact, for the first time to say that a plaque honoring Nureka in Vilnius needs to be removed. That's incredible development, because for decades Lithuania has resisted any sort of acceptance of guilt for its past. And here you have this statement by someone who's the second in command in the government. So what happened really? And as it turns out, the accusation has been made before, but not by the right people. Sylvia Foti, a granddaughter of a national hero, Nureka, is not someone who can be dismissed as a Jew or a communist or someone bought by the KGB. She's so far out of the game, and she's so related to nobility that it's impossible to dismiss what she says, and it's actually creating unprecedented movement in Lithuania. Who knows, maybe in a few years we'll start seeing a debate opening up there about whether it's okay to honor collaborators of the Nazis just because they fought the communists.
So interesting. It is such an interesting question, and these are questions we need to have this dialogue, you know, and have these conversations, Knaan. But thank you very, very much. You are always interesting. You are always interesting, and thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thanks for allowing me to bring the news from Europe.
Thank you so much.